Hey, friends and family, it's so good to be here with you tonight. I'm so glad that you're joining us tonight. It's great to connect with you. I don't know if you're joining in from your living room, the comfort of your bedroom. It doesn't matter. I'm just glad that you're here, and you're here to experience this virtual camp meeting. If you're joining in from Lacombe, welcome. Red Deer, welcome. Calgary, Edmonton, Central Alberta, Lethbridge, it's all good. I'm just glad that you are here with us tonight. If you have your Bibles, just keep them close by, whether it's a tablet, a phone, or a physical Bible. Just keep that close by as we get ready to go into our scripture. I think it's going to serve you really well to just follow with me as we go through the message for tonight. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you because you are an amazing God. This is not my time. This is your time. These are not my people. These are your people. Lord, I ask that you would speak for me, you would speak through me, and you would speak to us tonight. In your holy name we pray. Amen. So our theme for this youth division, our youth camp meeting for 2020 is Be Still. And when Pastor Lyle Notice reached out to me and he was like, Be Still is the theme, my mind rushed to Psalms 46. You probably know it. Psalms 46, the psalm begins with God's provision. It reads something like this: God is our refuge and our strength. He's our ever-present help in times of trouble. And so we see right there that the logic is laid for faith, that if God is our refuge, if he's our strength, then there's no reason to fear. The scripture continues, and it speaks about natural disasters and interesting things happening, kingdoms fighting, and God is able to lift his voice and things fall into place. And then verse 10 is very interesting. It says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the earth. I will be exalted among nations. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." And so when I read Psalms 46, I find encouragement. I feel empowered. I just feel God's promises. I claim his promises. It's amazing to read Psalms 46. But you know, sometimes things will happen in our lives, in your life, that will cause you to doubt if God is really able to come through, if he's really able, if he's truly able to come through. Maybe you ask yourselves questions like this: God, how can I remain still? How do you be still when there's still day-to-day struggles and realities that you gotta face? How do you remain still when you're processing the loss of a loved one? How do you remain still when 2020 didn't go your way? How do you remain still when there's still racism? How do you remain still when there are things you've seen and experienced and you haven't shared with anybody else? How do you remain still when you feel neglected, when you feel depressed, when you feel deflated, when you feel anxious? How do you remain still when you have people that are getting on your last nerve? How do you remain still, class of 2020, when your classes got canceled, graduation ceremony got canceled, your field trips got canceled, your photo shoots got canceled? It feels almost as if your entire year got canceled. So how do you be still when there's still day-to-day struggles that you got to deal with? The misconception is this: so many people believe that being still means doing nothing, being motionless, being detached, unaffected, emotionless. But the truth of the matter is this: the idea of being still is not that we stop activity and we stand still. The idea of being still is that even in our activity, we know who's in control, and therefore our response and our reactions, they're different. We don't walk the same. We don't talk the same. We don't act the same, because we know that there's a covenant-keeping God who's in charge of everything. And so we can be still, not motionless, but being still. If you have your Bibles, go with me to Mark chapter 4. pardon me, Mark chapter 4. Go there with me, travel with me to Mark chapter 4. We find an interesting story taking place here. You know, Jesus is doing what he does best. He's ministering, he's reaching out to the people, he's speaking to them, he's with the disciples, he's teaching, and he's getting ready to wrap things up. You know, it's been a long day, and he's bringing things to a closure, which brings us to verse 35. It reads, "That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, 'Let us go and cross over to the other side.'" Let us go and cross over to the other side. You see, Jesus made a promise to the disciples. He said, "Hey guys, let's go from point A to point B. I'm going to take you from this side of the Sea of Galilee to this side of the Sea of Galilee." And Jesus didn't say, "I'll take you halfway through." He didn't say, "Hey, I'm going to take you just to bring you in the middle of the ocean to drown you." He didn't say that. He didn't say, "I'm going to stop halfway through." In the same way, he's not saying to us that he's going to take us all the way through half point in the year just to leave us. He didn't say he's going to take us all the way through university just to leave us right here. He plans on taking us to the other side of the sea. But the truth is, every now and then, life will present you with situations that will cause you to doubt if Jesus is capable to take you from point A to point B. Things will happen in your relationship, in your marriage, in your friendships, with your friends, with your homeboys, with your homegirls. Things will happen that will cause you to doubt if God is truly able to take you from point A to point B. But I'm here to refresh your mind tonight that Jesus is a promise keeper. You know the song. He's a way maker. He's a miracle worker. And what he started, he's able to finish. So the disciples, they listen and they're like, "All right, let's go." You know, they don't argue with Jesus. They don't get into a heated discussion with Jesus as to why they have to cross over to the other side. They just listen and they start making this journey to the other side. Then verse 36 says this. If you have your Bibles, just follow through with me. Verse 36, it says, "Leaving the crowd behind them, they took him," that's Jesus, "they took him along just as he was in the boat." So meaning Jesus didn't get ready to, he didn't get to do a lot of things. He didn't wrap things, he didn't get to do a lot of things. They just took him as he was in the boat. And it's so important for us to take Jesus as he is. Not as people present him to be, not as we wish he would be, but simply as he is, because Jesus is more than enough. And so the day is coming to a close. Jesus has ministered. He has reached out to people. He's empowered people. And the disciples, they're making this journey with Jesus to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And then there's this storm that takes place. The Sea of Galilee, first of all, is known. It has a reputation for storms. Like, it's known for that. It's kind of like Florida. I'm from Florida. Florida is known for tropical storms. Florida is known for hurricanes. In fact, from June 1st to August, September, it's known as hurricane season. And so on the news, you will often hear people say, prepare for the worst and hope for the best. And so people will board up their house, they will purchase water, because Florida is known for storms. The Sea of Galilee was known for storms. But this particular day, this storm was just a little bit different. And in the middle of this storm, Jesus is doing something. Verse 38 tells us what Jesus is doing. You see it in your text. It says that Jesus was in the stern, which is the back part of the boat. Jesus was in the back part of the boat, and not only is he there, he's sleeping. He's sleeping on a cushion. And so the disciples, they woke him up, and they said to him, "Teacher, teacher, don't you care if we die?" Right? They come up to Jesus, and they're waking him up. I can imagine this scene. It's kind of chaotic. It's a little bit like the Titanic, maybe. I don't know. And they're calling Jesus. They're like, "Jesus, we're about to die." And notice the disciples, they put Jesus in their category. They're like, "Jesus, you're in this boat too. Jesus, you're here with us. If this boat sinks, you're going down with us. Don't you care if we drown?" So the question still remains tonight. How do you remain still when the evidence points to the distorted yet hurtful fact that Jesus is sleeping? What do you do when things are happening around you? I'm not talking about small things. I'm talking about big things, traumatic things. Things are happening in your friendships, your relationship, your family, your schooling. Like, things are happening that you're asking Jesus, where are you? What do you do when it looks as if not only is Jesus sleeping, but he's on a pillow, he's on a cushion, and he's sleeping? And if he's on a pillow and a cushion, it means that he doesn't, it suggests that he doesn't plan on getting up anytime soon. And so sometimes we're forced to ask the same question that the disciples ask Jesus: don't you care? Jesus, don't you care if we drown? Jesus, don't you care if we die? Jesus, don't you care if this coronavirus takes us out? Jesus, don't you care about our schooling? Jesus, don't you care about racism? Jesus, don't you care about what's happening in our world? But verse 38, I find hope in verse 38. Notice it wasn't the wind that woke Jesus up. This is your shouting moment. This is your clapping moment. This is your moment to get up in the house, no one's watching you, and to start clapping. It wasn't the wind that woke Jesus up. It wasn't the thunder that woke Jesus up. It wasn't the splashing water that woke Jesus up. It was the voice in the cries of the disciples that woke Jesus up. I want to tell you today that it's your cry. It's your story. That's why you matter. There's something about you. There's something that's unique to you, and Jesus cares about you. And so it was the voices of the disciples, not the commotion of the storm, that woke Jesus up. And so verse 39 tells us Jesus gets up and he rebukes the wind, and he said to the waves, hush, quiet, peace, be still. And at that moment, the wind died down and everything grew completely calm. Here's Jesus, who's able to calm this storm just by speaking words: peace, be still. Three simple words: peace, be still, and everything grew calm. And so then Jesus goes to the disciples and he's like, guys, why are you so scared? Why are you afraid? Don't you got faith? And they look at one another. I can picture them right now. I'm having a mental picture of the disciples talking to one another. And they're saying, what kind of man is this that even the wind, verse 41, and the waves, they obey him? What kind of man is this that he's able to speak things into existence? What kind of man is this that he's able to change the situation overnight? What kind of man is this that he's able to heal sick people? What kind of man is this that he's able to stop pandemics? What kind of man is this that he's able to take control over my messy situation and turn it around for something that was meant for bad and turn it around to make it something good? What kind of man is this? We're amazed at how powerful God is. You know, just take a look at your life. You know, it's one thing to look at the scripture and we find comfort and encouragement, but look at your own life. We're amazed of how powerful God is. He's able to speak things into existence. Psalms 46 says, he utters his voice and things fall into place. And that's why even in our activities, we can still be still. Psalms 46 says, come and see what the Lord has done. He makes the war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shield with fire. Be still and know that he is God. He will be exalted among nations. He will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. He's our safe space. He's our hiding spot. He's our landing spot. He's our go-to spot. He's our number one. And that's why no matter what you're going through, I'm not going to negate or drop down or bring down your trauma. But whatever you're going through, God is still in control and he can take you from point A to point B. So be still. Be still. I don't know what you're going through tonight, what you're experiencing in your life, but be still and know that he is God. As I was reading the text, I found three things that I just want to leave you with. You can write them down or you can take a mental picture of them. The first one is this. Jesus is a promise keeper. Jesus is a promise keeper. I know it's quite possible if you've been around long enough that you've had friends, you've had family that's broken promises. Said they would do something and they never came through. Said they would show up, never showed up. Said they would pick up and never picked up. But I'm just here to reassure you that Jesus is a promise keeper. What he starts, he will finish. He will take you from point A to point B. It may not look the way that you and I want it to be, but he's able to take you from the start to the end, from the bottom to the top. Jesus is a promise keeper. The second thing, I want to leave you with this. Your voice matters. Your voice matters. Don't let anyone question you on that. Your voice, there's a place for you in the church. There's a place for you in the kingdom of God. You're special. You're created for something great. There's a place for you in God's kingdom. There's a place for you right now in this church. Your voice matters. Take a look. Mark chapter 4, verse 38. It wasn't the wind that woke Jesus up. It wasn't the splashing water that woke Jesus up. It wasn't the thunder. It wasn't the commotion. It wasn't the lightning. It wasn't any of those things that woke Jesus up. It wasn't the wave that woke Jesus up. It wasn't the boat that woke Jesus up. It was the disciples' cries that woke Jesus up. Your voice matters. You matter. And I just want you to hold tight to that. There's a place for you in God's kingdom. There's a place for you in the church. The third point I want to leave you with this. Third point I want to leave you with is this. Be still. Be still. Be still and know that he is God. You know, I don't know what you're experiencing today. I don't know what you've gone through. I'm pretty sure that you have a unique story that's unique to you. In fact, I always like to say it, that you know you better than I know you, and I know me better than you know me. And there's something that you've seen, something that you've experienced that's been hurtful, that there's been times in your life that you felt deflated. There's times that you've doubted God. But I just want to reassure you to be still and know that he is able. He's our refuge. He's our strength. He's our active help in times of trouble. Ellen White puts it like this. I love what Ellen White says. She says, there's no reason to doubt God unless we forget what he's done in times past. And so take a look at your life. Go take a trip down memory lane and see how God has provided for you, how he has come through time and time again. Like when you were in grade 1, when you were in grade 5, when you were in grade 7, when you graduated, when you went to middle school, when you were in that broken relationship, when you were at home, when you were traveling from your country to Canada, when you were on the road in Alberta, when you were dealing with the different storms that happened here in the province, when you were dealing with the fires in Fort Mac, when you were dealing with the recession, when you were dealing with things, he was there. If you take a look, you will notice a theme that God always shows up, and he always shows up on time. So that's the word for you tonight. Be still, relax. Be still and know that he is God. I want to invite you at this time to just pray with me as we wrap things up. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for being a loving God, a merciful God, a gracious God, a God who cares about all the areas in our lives, and you're concerned about your people. Lord, we place our lives, we place our year, we place everything in your hands, and we know that you are more than capable, you are more than able to provide for everything that we need. And so we'll trust you, even when we can't trace you. We love you, Father. Come back soon. Amen. It was awesome having you here tonight. Come back tomorrow night. Our virtual camp meeting continues. Send the link to a friend. Invite a friend. Host a watch party. Do whatever you have. And come back. Come back tomorrow night. You don't want to miss it. It's been great having you here tonight. We love you. Have an awesome night. Take care.